Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Back in the secure haunts of the old studio, not on the back porch, but down here in my multi-million dollar studio. A little weary, to be honest with you. It's a good weariness. Good weariness. And give you a heads up right now, for those of you who weren't able to join us this week, yeah, we're going to give you a full report on it, but no, we're not going to spend the whole day talking about it. So it doesn't want to be like one of those birthday parties that you missed out on, but we'd be remiss if we didn't share some of the really, really cool things, exciting things that happened this weekend up at Sky High. And I'm whipped, all right? And I just spoke to Chad Estes. How about this one? Chad Estes still isn't home. He's 2 hours out in his in that big old tank of a truck that he drives. He drove down here with Paul Webb. He picked Paul Webb up in Oklahoma. David Hawkins he picked up in Dallas, and they drove straight through. They left here yesterday afternoon about, 2 o'clock maybe.
Here it is.
1 o'clock, and here it is 7:02, and he's still not in, rolling in there in a couple hours. So a lot of people came a long, long way. And, man, just really, really so appreciative of what they do. Let me do a couple things before we dive in here. I want to make you aware of a few things. Those of you in the Columbus, Ohio area, Randall Terry, who we had on the show last week, is having a meet and greet. That's probably not the right word. We're all getting together with Randall Terry tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. He's going to lay out. Just come be with Randall Terry. If you're in the Columbus area, you say, Coach, where is it? I knew you're going to ask that. If you've sent me an email, I'm sorry I haven't gotten back to you. I've just been swamped, okay? Bear with me. But if you'd like to join Randall Terry on Tuesday night and out on the street on Wednesday, email me or contact us through the website, and I'll get you further information about it. But he's coming a long, long way, and he's going to confront the Catholic bishops. You say, well, I'm not Catholic. Well, we're going to confront them with truth, and you believe in the truth, don't you? Stand with the truth. So we're going to be joining with Randall on Tuesday and probably Wednesday morning. I see a little bit more what the schedule is. I'm sorry if I seem low energy. I am a little bit, all right? And don't forget Mike Spaulding coming up this weekend, the Go Ye Therefore conference. And it's a video conference only. And you say, well, Coach, I can't make it, yada, yada, yada. Well, even if you can't, go there, click on, and help Pastor Mike out. Make a donation, buy a ticket, whatever you can do, because he's put a lot of time, effort, and energy. And it'll be a great lineup of people and a great event, even though it's being done only over the internet. Looking at my notes here, I'm going to go to New York August 1st. I'm going to go, been invited out there to be part of an event on the 1st and 2nd of August regarding a lot of things, but see, we are beginning to reinitiate the Equal Justice Tour. I'll talk more about that later on this week. But you think we don't need Equal Justice Tour? If you think we have not been pushing the right button, if we haven't been months and months and months ahead of the crowd, I don't know what to tell you. And we have an opportunity over the next 3 or 4 months to really make a difference before the election. So November 1st, I'm coming that way, and I'm going to join with probably doing all I can to join with Randall Terry when he goes to Joe Biden's home. Those of you out there on the East Coast, it might be something that you want to write down as well. We're going to spend a couple days directly out in front of Joe Biden's house and try to expose him, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, most of this stuff is not on our calendar yet. Been swamped all weekend, actually swamped all last week. And we'll get to it today, but just some things that you can put down in your own minds of events that we're going to be getting. Folks, They're going to shut us down again. You know that, right? You do know that. Prepare your heart for that. They're going to shut us down again. So we're putting stuff on our calendar and we're moving forward the best we can. But we also have to be very, very cognizant. Big word I just learned of really what's coming down the pike. Anybody for the good of the group before I dive into a little review this weekend? Any news out there? I know that Jeff Klein's leading the crew out to Missouri this weekend as well. Bill Dunphy, Flip Benham, some others are going to be out there. Jeff, you want to share any information on that?
We're still putting together the details on it. Believe it or not, we cannot find that prosecuting attorney's address. Everybody's searching. She is laying low, but we're going to go to her house Saturday morning. Pastor Bill wants to give her a rebuking for just the way she's handling that whole situation out there with the attorneys with the guns. And then Flip, we're going to do an abortion clinic in St. Louis Saturday afternoon. I think we're going to try and meet with some law enforcement, and then we want to meet with the attorneys if we can get with them. And then Sunday morning, Flip wants to go back to the prosecuting attorney's house and hold a church service outside of her house. So be jam-packed weekend and head back, be home by Sunday night. St. Louis, yeah. Missouri. We'll get more details as we go on exactly where we're going to get a hotel, but we're trying to pinpoint it with her address so we're not 100 miles away from her address.
Amen. Cool, Jeff. Thanks.
All right, one more thing, Coach.
Yes, sir.
We're going to push our August gathering.
All right.
Due to the heat and just the circumstances going on. And we don't have a date yet, but we're still going to do an anniversary thing when it cools down a bit, I think.
Okay, great.
To share that.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Mark. Hey, Mark, I want you to know that everybody this weekend reaped the benefits of your efforts and of Joe Allen's efforts and of Richard Rapp's efforts. I could name more guys who came out. And I'm just telling you, brother. I'm just telling you.
The way I look at it, Coach, is I just hope each of our efforts are shadowed by the efforts moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it was so good to see everyone up there enjoying that property. And Coach, I know this has been a long-term thing for you to figure out what's going on with it. So it's just a blessing to see it, even from afar, to see everyone. I missed everyone, and you know I love everyone, and I love that property. So I'm just so happy everyone had a great time.
Mark, you got to get back up here. Joe Allen, all the great work that Joe Allen did. And how about this one? Ryan Duncan showed up, and I spoke over and over about Ryan when he jumped. Remember, Mark, when he jumped in that skid steer and started ripping those vines? And he came back with his wife and his daughter and said, man, look at this, Ryan. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought?
Yeah, I'll never forget when Ryan first came. We didn't have anything really planned. We threw a weed eater in his hand and went down by the road. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And he's
I do.
Like, Coach, I don't have any shoes. And he got your son's shoes. But I mean,
and then he said, but I can't, I can't drive that skid steer, right? He went and jumped on that skid steer.
I know it. But the men who have came and women who have came have just let their gifts shine. They've just done their thing, and it's just been so rewarding. Yep. Amazing, Coach.
Well, Mark, I spoke on Sunday morning. Just bear with us here, folks. I'm going to let you get in here. I told a story about me whining and moaning and complaining one time to the Holy Spirit about how hard everything was. I mean, I was just in one. You all been there? I've been in one of those valleys and a lot of challenges. And I was just crying out to the Lord. I said, "Man, Lord, this is supposed to be." He said, "Goodness and mercy would follow us, Lord." I need some goodness and mercy. Where in the heck is it? I mean, I can read it here in the Bible. It says goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. Where is it? The cheering in here. Yeah, I'm telling this story because it's a true story. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Well, Coach, there you go. Always think about you." Put me right back on my haunches. And then as I began, you know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, folks, it comes as a thought usually. Sometimes it's, you could say you heard his voice, but you didn't really, it wasn't an audible thing. It's a thought process. It takes place back and forth between the Holy Spirit and us as, you know, thoughts are generated. And I said, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Coach, goodness and mercy follows you because it's what is left as a result of you having come through. So Mark, goodness and mercy was there because of what you did and what Randy did and what Joseph did. And Ryan Duncan was able, all of the people, nearly at times, we had nearly 90 register. We had some others that came and go. We were probably over 100 people from, I think we counted last night, 11 different states, Nevada, Minnesota, California, Florida. The folks that came from everywhere. And Mark, Joseph, Randy, Rich, I mean, whoever else, I'm for, goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy's there. We were in the midst of our Sunday morning service. Roger Weaver could probably comment on this because we were sitting there in the midst of that. Jamie Walden, oh my Lord. We were sitting, Gary Pierce, all the Gary Pierce did, Debbie Pierce, Larry Richardson, all the food he cooked, and oh my, 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 my. Goodness and mercy follows. Goodness and mercy. So we were in the midst of our Sunday morning service. David Hawkins, Paul Webb. I baptized Paul Webb yesterday. And we were in the midst of the service and we said a prayer or something going on. I can't remember. There's always a breeze up at Sky High. But I was sitting, Roger Weaver was right in front of me. And all of a sudden this breeze came over the hill like I thought it was going to blow the tent down. It was like a refreshing of the Holy Spirit blew up. I mean, I'm just telling you, man. I'll tell you. And so we still don't know what that place is for. Still don't know. I don't know. But I know this. Goodness and mercy's coming there. It's following there. Got a lot of great stuff to share with you today. But real quick, Sheldon, pull up the picks. It says picks of the weekends. Just give you guys a flavor of what's going on. Mark, that's right out in front of the old garage. We set up a big old tent. And people came and go and ate and celebrated. And there's a cross in the background you see. And Bob Evans this weekend. Bob can't even play. He spent all weekend extending that cross 3 more feet, putting some more stainless steel reflector on it. Bob, it looked great last night. It was amazing. Click the next picture. And that's OJ. There's old OJ, 73-year-old OJ, climbed the tower. Dorita, his wife, wasn't with him. She'd probably killed us if she'd have seen it. There's Rob Pugh walking through there. It was there's our old buddy Linda who fell and banged her knee. She's just, yeah, man, a lot of great things. So I'm going to just kind of, I got a lot to share with you, okay? But I want to open it up a little bit for anybody who came who wants to testify or a story or anything like that. And I don't want those of you who weren't there to feel guilty because you weren't there, okay? I want you to get a flavor. Anybody, come on in. I just got a text here from, oh, yeah. Hey, do me real, bear with me here a second. Go to my Facebook page, Sheldon, and bring up, this is a very, very powerful moment. Scroll down, bud. Scroll on down. Stephanie, I just want you to hit right there, buddy. Stephanie, who was a former pagan, she'd been saved 3 years. She just texted me and reminded me of it. I'm not going to show you all of this. But Stephanie burnt a lot of her pagan tools. Would that be the right word? Her witchcraft tools. And I love Stephanie and I love her godly spirit. She's been saved 3 years. Out of witchcraft, out of paganism, on fire for Jesus. And when she came on Saturday evening, we burnt some of her pagan tools, some books and some feathers. And I'm just going to play just a few seconds of this because this is really, really. Listen, amen. Folks, we are reclaiming the battles over the high ground. High ground, the high. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And high places has to do with the spiritual realm. We understand that. But there are high space, high places and portals and open doors on high physical places as well. And we believe Sky High was and is one of those high places. And that we've reclaimed that by sticking the cross up. It's sort of like poking the devil in his eye. We said, no, devil, we are taking this territory back. And under the light of that cross, Stephanie brought some of her Wiccan stuff and burned it. It was a really, really powerful moment. Play just a couple minutes of that, Sheldon, if you can.
They get sucked in real easy. They're sucked in by the shiny. They're sucked in. They think they're doing good. Not every witch is black, and they don't cursing and hexing everybody. They think they're doing good. They're being manipulated and used. So mine, I am angry because I was used like a puppet. I thought I was helping people, and I was hindering. I was opening doors. My fire and passion comes from wanting to let people know this is real.
Dark side's real. Definitely, I got you. You're going across the world right now. Yeah.
Dark side's real.
Dark side is real.
And if you know me as Rakugar Moon. Rakugar Moon no more. Rakugar Moon is gone and dead as of 3 years ago, April 18th, 2018. This was my crown that I used to wear. It's kind of beat up because I kicked it around a bit. I used to wear this huge thing on my head. I used to have this huge, big thing of hair. I would fast for 24 hours first. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I would separate myself. No contact with any other people. No touching, no hugging, no becomes not familiar. I literally would fast for 24 hours, pray on whatever working I wanted to do, whether it be to help somebody get out of depression or out of, for myself or whatever. And then I would paint my face and put on my mask. My mask wasn't over my face. My mask was a big black stripe across my, I don't know where that came from. One day I was getting ready just to paint up and I felt compelled. I came walking down the hill and they all started chanting, Rakugar. And I'm like, who's Rakugar? They're like, you are. And that's how I got my name. So this was
Sheldon, slide it forward just a little bit to where we see her start throwing some of this stuff into the fire. That's a bunch of feathers she has right there, folks. Keep on going, brother, till she turns around and starts pissing stuff on the fire.
Stephanie, who was...
This is a clear white...
This is...
I'm not going to admit I did dabble like in gray if somebody hurt somebody, you know, and they said, hey, you know, something I might...
So she keeps going, Sheldon. She's explaining everything she has before she throws it into the fire.
It was okay, I thought.
That's a book of remembrance that she would use.
She
wore, they wore masks, and she talked about the power of wearing the mask.
Look at the old...
And there she's going to start throwing some stuff. There's her old tambourine.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Yeah. Folks, you got to understand, this is very, very precious stuff to her as she lived her pagan life. And it all went on that flame, man. It all went on that flame. There goes her.
Hey, Stephanie.
That'd be hard, wouldn't it?
People watching think you're nuts.
That's okay.
Think it's an act.
That's okay. I'm fine with that.
There's the picture she's carrying is a self-portrait someone made of Stephanie, what they saw her to be, the dark side.
So you're nuts and screwed on the right bolt, right?
I think you're ignorant if you think I'm nuts, so we're equal.
Yes, there you go.
How about that one?
That's what they did in the Book of Acts.
That's right. Right there it is.
Stephanie, quote, that is a portal right there.
That's the picture they drew of what Stephanie was, and it's on the dark side, and she burned part. That was very precious to her.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and King of this hill here, by this cross, this hill is ours.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. You can close that out there now, folks. Listen. We've got to help people understand two things. Number one, the dark side's real. It is real. They believe it. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, or your pastor hasn't talked about it, or you haven't had it in your what do they call those things? Your small group, you haven't talked about that. The dark side is real. And the Bible tells us that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That doesn't mean that seeking signs is evil. But it does tell us that if people are lost and they are in an evil and adulterous generation, they are looking for a sign. They're looking for power of Christ. And until they see it, until they see that sign, they are not going to believe. What was it Doubting Thomas said? He said to all the disciples when they said, hey, Jesus was just here. Jesus was just here. And what Thomas say? Hey, sorry, dudes. Unless I put my fingers in those holes, I ain't believing it. That's an evil and adulterous generation. And you know what we're serving up to that evil and adulterous generation today? Honey. sugar cookies. They're looking for a sign. They want to see the power of God. We don't even believe in it. We don't even believe in the power of the dark side. We don't even believe in that. Boy, if you'd have been there and you'd have heard Jamie Walden give the, oh my goodness, the expose that, no, that's not the right word. The exposition that he gave on the warrior mentality embedded in all of Christianity. I wish I'd have filmed it. I said, Jamie, that was one of the most amazing things that I've ever. That's right after we had burnt Stephanie's stuff. Right after we'd burn it. And to understand that the people were, hey, listen to me. The people that you're trying to be, to lead to Jesus are not going to be led to Jesus only by the words, Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Folks, wake that up, will you? We're in a war. People's lives are being turned upside down. We see all this fear that's being ravaged all across America, and the shutting down of this and the shutting down of that and the fear of this and the fear of that. Jesus loves you, brother. Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming soon. An evil and adulterous generation is seeking after a sign. And unfortunately, we're not deep enough in our understanding of our faith to be able to even present that sign to him. I'm going to shut up and open it up. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, as soon as we burnt that too, you got my attention. As soon as we were done with that, didn't that cross light up and turn on?
Folks, I forgot that. As soon as Stephanie, you know, we have the lighted cross and it's on a timer. It's a timer. So we're standing under the cross burning Stephanie's stuff. And when she threw her last thing on there and it burnt, I turned around and looked and the cross lit up. The cross lit up right at that
Hallelujah.
Moment. It was on a timer, but I wonder if God didn't come down and flick that and said, I'll flick that on right now. I'm gonna move it up here a little bit.
That's just the book of coincidences, Coach. We never see stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Never happens like that.
Yeah, I see California in the news again this morning. Newsom came out and shut down all in service churches again.
There we go. The tax on the church. By the way, Dale Socia, goodness and mercy, is following you, brother. They didn't get to hang out inside that place, but we let them all walk through it, and they just went on and on about the floors and all that kind of stuff. And goodness and mercy, it's behind us. It's behind you. Hey, if you're looking for goodness and mercy, look behind you. You're a path. You're clearing a path. Others are coming down the path you clear. Goodness and mercy is following you, and it's not for you. It's for others. Come on in, Silver.
I was going to say that we're trying to reach a lost generation, and I was thinking that maybe we should speak their language.
Mm.
Jesus is coming, and boy, is he pissed.
Amen. Yeah, Joe, not telling how much they love him. They already know that. They love themselves so much. Why wouldn't Jesus love them, right? Right? They don't know that they're wretched and poor and blind and smelly. They don't know that. We have to tell them. It doesn't sound very nice, but, brother, we got to tell them. Dale, did you want to say something else? Felt like I cut you off there, bud.
Oh, I don't know. I lost my train of thought. But
all right, bud. Sorry, didn't mean to walk on you. 315 area code. Come on in there. 315.
Coach, real quick. You know what it is? Yes. Everything that? You're talking about, what's going on, what's been done up there, it's all drops of the bucket. But mm-hmm. brother, eventually the bucket gets filled to overflowing.
Well, hey, Dale, you know what else? Mike Heath told me this, and I thought this is pretty profound. He said the profundity of what you're doing, Coach, is we are raising up the cross at Sky High while statues are being torn down. Nobody's raising up things. Everybody's tearing down things. So the significance of that, to poke the devil in his eye and that anti-Christ agenda, we're poking them in their eye.
And it's Beverly bigger, Bevan went down and put paint all over the Black Lives Matter down in front of Trump Towers, right?
I'm going to show that here in a second.
Gets treated like royalty, but from the Christian side is being thrown under the bus.
Amazing. Well, we're going to have her on here either tomorrow or Wednesday. So praise the Lord. I got a video to show you on that. 315 area code. Come on in.
Yeah, this is Gary. To comment what you were saying earlier about the about more lockdowns coming, and you were mentioning preparing your hearts first of all, how do you do that? And secondly, is there going to be a big pushback this time, you know, against this nonsense, unlike the last time? Because I'm just beyond words. These, you know, these anti-humans, as I call them, would even be attempting another round of this.
Listen, they wouldn't. Here, I saw something. Go to chat. What's your name? Sheldon. I don't even know if I can do this. I was going to save this and didn't. Go to a website called Zero Hedge. Z-E-R-O-H-E-D-G-E. Zero Hedge.
While it's going,
yes.
It's got to get worse. It's got to get worse mm-hmm. in order to have a need for a vaccine. It can't be as mild as it just happened.
That's right. That's right.
So they got to fabricate a worse reason to inject us.
Sheldon, scroll on down there. I'll tell you when to stop. I'm looking at what it's going to say. I'm sorry, Mark. Didn't mean to slow down there a second. Hang on. Let me read. Because keep going. Mask mania group think that's not the way it is. Visualize, you know. It shows who's wearing the masks. It's a chart of who is wearing the masks. And I could tell you about it. But it would be better to show you. And, of course, I can't find it right now. Go to Nexus and see if you can. In the meantime, somebody come on in.
Coach, if you take the mark, you become a locust.
If you wear a mask, you become a locust?
Yeah.
And I'll have to talk to Stephanie about that one. What do you mean by that, Vinny?
Well, when you take the mark of the beast, you'll be connected to hell forever.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, see, listen, we can argue all we want to about whether it's the mark of the beast and all that kind of stuff, but we're smart enough to know something's going on. Hey, Sheldon, I'm sorry, man. I don't know why I can't find it there, but you know what it is, right? About 70%, this true story from this statistics, 70% of those wearing masks are Democrats. 70% of every American that you see. If you see somebody wearing a mask, chances are 70% that they're a Democrat. And if you see somebody not wearing a mask, that's about 85% likelihood that they're a Republican. And I'm not into Republican Democrat. I'll try to find that. We'll use that thing tomorrow. Somebody else, 817, come on in, 817. I'll find it, Sheldon. I'll find it. Get that.
Well, Coach, you're right. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about smart and stupid.
Well, it's about deceived. Because I know a lot of really, really smart people who are deceived. And
That's true.
They're not stupid because we got words mean things. What does it mean to be stupid? Well, they're not stupid people. They're,
right.
Listen, folks, the ones wearing the masks and promoting the masks are the worshipers. There it is. The worshipers of science. They're science worshipers. I don't know who found it, but it's on your screen right now. You can see this. This is on Zero Hedge. I love this website, by the way. This is the demographic, how often Americans use face masks in public. 34% always, males, 34% of all males always wear them. 29% wear them often. 13% of men wear them sometimes. 4% rarely. So you got 18% of men who rarely or never wear masks. That's 1 in 5 men never wear it. Females, 54% of females always wear them. Excuse me. And 27% wear them often. So what do we have there? 81% of mask wearers are women. Republicans. Well, 24% of Republicans wear them all the time. 41% of them don't. And 27% of the Republicans usually don't. So 68% of Republicans rarely or never wear a mask. See that? Independents, good news, folks. Independents are streaming our way. 61% of independents never wear one and 33% rarely do. Or the other way around. 74% of independents. Sounds to me like the Trumpsters. College graduates. There you go, boys and girls. College graduates, 49% always wear them, and 36% always wear them when they're in public. 86% of college graduates, the knowledge worshipers, wear masks. Look at this. Only 4% of college graduates refuse to wear them. That'd be me. I'm one of those. And the no college, Same thing. Misinformed, uninformed. 65% of no college people tend to follow the experts. 18% don't. Now slide back up a second. I was missing something, Sheldon. I thought maybe not. Maybe not. Anyway, it doesn't tell us anything other than kind of amazing. Kind of amazing. Shows who is being manipulated. Area code 817. Come on in. Area code 3. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, I was going to tell you, you missed the Democrats.
Oh, did I miss it? Go back to Democrat. Go back. I'm sorry. Sheldon, can you get that back up there? Democrats, look at that. Look at that, folks. 94% of those wearing masks are Democrats. 94%. The number of Democrats not wearing masks is almost unmeasurable. Look at that. Look at that. Wow. I don't want to get in a fight about masks. But it tells you something. Which group do you think is going to be which group is going to be standing with you when it comes to vaccinations, you think? Think elections don't matter? I think they matter. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach, it's Joseph.
Hey, Joseph, we missed you, man. God bless you, buddy.
Yeah. I wanted to hint on something that you said about tearing down. And some of us know what you and your family has gone through. And to me, you tore down fear of what to do with Scott and I. And see what the Holy Spirit has given you and your family by reversing fear into joy.
And boy, Joseph, facing fear, brother, facing fear. That's what it was. You folks, I don't want to pat on the back. I don't want to meddle. But this last year hadn't been easy dealing with that because there was not peace in my home over, there was peace in my home over the purchase of Sky High. But my wife was grieved because she knew I didn't have the skill set to do it. She just knew it. And she knew how messed up that was up there. And she saw it as a headache. What are you ever going to do with it? You can't even drive a tractor. What are you ever going to do? And it caused a lot of, our love, her love for me and her support for me never wavered, never, ever wavered.
So Coach, the fear came from not her not trusting you.
Yes.
Her fear
yes.
Her fear came from not trusting us. So the question is, guys, whenever you step off and do something and be obedient, do you trust this group of people will support you?
Mm.
Will that be enough to overcome your fear? Joe can lean on me. Mike Heath can lean on me. Can I lean on you? Can we lean on each other? That's what Coach had to, he had to witness it. Boy. He couldn't ask. He couldn't. He just had to wait on the Holy Spirit to move in us. And that is what I witnessed. That is the amazing thing.
Boy, Mark, is that it? Is that
wake up in people?
I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Here's another
and Mark.
And all the advice you had from people will either tear it down or not tear it down.
Yeah, yeah. The confusion, Joseph, the mixture of fear and confusion was overwhelming to me.
Here's a biblical perspective sometimes, Coach, because we're not a very faithful men, developed an incredible group. Mark was absolutely 100% right. But prior to that, this why you're buying this was because the Lord told you. The Lord told you. And sometimes God is speaking to the head and he's not speaking to the wife. Per se, for instance, Abraham and Sarah. God tells Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, I want you to take him up to the mountain. We're going to make sacrifice. If Sarah was hinted into by God that they were going to offer up Isaac, Sarah would have offered up Abraham before Isaac. Does that make sense? So sometimes God is not going to speak to your wife. He's speaking to you, and there's this obedience. And yes, because of her trust for you, she went forward, but she was not – God was not revealing. Same thing with Joseph and Mary. God didn't wake up Mary to go down into Egypt. God woke up Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So your obedience unto God. And yes, what Mark said was absolutely true.
And so the point that I'm making was we're goodness and mercy will follow you. We're all sitting up there under that big tent yesterday with this beautiful, beautiful property. And I'm sitting there and I know what happened there. I know how God sent people there. I know how he did it, man. I know how he did it. And because I know that, that's why I know that that place is for the body. I don't know why yet. If you would have, Roger Weaver, I don't know if Roger's in here. Roger made a little video yesterday. I went home. We were done. And Roger came back to pick up some stuff. And he made a video up there. And he talked about how peaceful it was. He was all alone at the top of that hill. And he said how peaceful that was. Folks, this was a place that was owned by Satan. This hill was owned by Satan. Go ahead, Roger. Talk about that a second.
Oh, I was just up in the evening picking stuff up. And it was just so quiet and peaceful. And you look over the little valley below, and it was just pleasant, just peaceful, calm. Mm. Wind was blowing. I was up there by myself, just looking over the little valley, and it was just so calm and peaceful up there when I was there last night.
Amen. It didn't used to be that way, but hey, Mark Trump, you remember that spirit that was up there early when we were fighting that fight? Let me shut up a minute, and let me have some guys who were there this weekend who want to testify before I hang on just a second. Chad Estes, folks, if Chad Estes isn't one of your heroes, he should be now. What he pulled off was with 80 some people to take them through pistol training. Jamie Walden and a couple of his buddies did long rifle, AR training. Bobby Lee did self-defense. And, I'm thinking self-defense. I don't know. That was one of the best things that we had the whole time was the session that Bobby put on just being able to defend yourself out in a parking lot. If all of a sudden you're confronted by it was great. And Gary Donahoe did communications, not just walkie-talkies and that kind of stuff, but communication, ways to communicate. And it was just, I'm just telling you, man, it was the effort that those guys put into it. Jamie and those guys with those ARs, Chad, and how meticulously he took us. He drove 18 hours here and 18 hours home with Paul and David Hawkins with him. And my tip my hat. Gary Pierce did a lot of work. Debbie Pierce and Bob Evans and Tammy Evans. As soon as I start off forgetting names, everybody just chipped in. Where can I help? Terry Zeller, where can I help? What can I do? Ryan Dunkel, what can I do, Coach? What do you need me to?
Could you pull everything off just by being plugged into your little local church, Coach?
Dale, this is something powerful going on. And folks, yesterday, during our church service, whatever you call that thing, when we all gathered together, it became nothing more than individuals standing up and sharing what was on their heart, which is they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their own lives, even to the point of death. Let me ask you something. Do you ever get a chance to share your word of your testimony? Clay from Alabama. Say who? Yep, Clay from Alabama, who listens every day, stood up and said, I don't have anybody like this anywhere where I live. I got no church family. I got nobody that gets it. I got nobody that understands it. Thank God for this huddle, for this group of guys that I'm plugged in. And I'm telling you, that could have gone on. And what would make Al and Brenda drive from Minnesota? What would make them do that? See, the Lord is doing something, trying to bring people together. And we're doing all we can to try to separate people denominationally, or as Randall Terry said the other day, brilliant statement, just smokestacks. We all just got smokestacks and we're not working together, and we are assembling something bigger than what we understand. So my hope is those of you who came, take what you have and begin to assemble where you are. That's what we have to convert it into. I know I've forgotten somebody. I just know I have. Come on in.
Coach, this is just the beginning.
I believe it, Joseph. I believe it.
Well, Coach, this is David.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I'm a little hoarse.
Folks, this is David Hawkins. He drove all the way from Dallas with Chad and Paul Webb. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that this morning, you know, when you honored me by allowing me to start the worship service, well, the Lord gave me Matthew 6:31-34, and that's what he gave me. But I wanted to present an opportunity for the organic church to do like it talks about in scripture, where everybody who's touched by the Lord to have a word and to be able to exhort one another and so on and so forth. So my little part was just a little part to get it all started. And then, you know, I just knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to move among everybody, and that somebody had, you know, there were all of those that stood up and had, like you talk about Clay, you know, he's sharing his heart that, you know, he needs people like us there in his area. And, you know, and then Jamie stood up and he just expounded on the board. And then, you know, I mean, so it just kept going around, and everyone that stood up had something to add. And that's what organic church is supposed to be about. We're not supposed to be individuals standing up there, you know, and putting the gavel down and saying, thus saith the Lord, bam, 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 bam. You know, one person talking, it's supposed to be organic. And that's what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this morning. And it turned out that everything built upon everything that each other said, and it was just glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to thank you for that opportunity to let me, to allow me to be able to kind of just to perpetuate that and give everybody, whoever was there, give everybody an example of how organic church really is supposed to work. Amen. So thank you. Thank you so much. And you know, and ministry just happened all over the place all the time out there. It was,
and we tried to incorporate each other's gifts. In fact, I heard from our buddy Ray LeBlanc sent me an email today. I had Ray kind of, we did communion, and I had Ray kind of handle that communion, and he emailed me this morning and said, Coach G, man, thanks for letting me be part of that. And I thought, wow, huh? Men want to be involved. Men want to be activated. Men want to be used, and it's not happening in the local church. Hey, Sheldon, go to King James Bible online, folks. I got to show you something here, I think. Hey, Chad, am I touching my face too much this morning? Because Chad said I'm always touching my face.
Absolutely.
Making fun of me. Chad's making fun. Just saying, Chad. Just saying.
Just I know saying. The reason you're ministry now.
1 Corinthians 14. This is what came to me yesterday. And go down, Sheldon, to about verse 20. This is what came to me yesterday as I was watching the dynamics. Stop right there a second. When people were fighting over each other to get a chance to stand up and testify. And I'm thinking, man, is this ever church? Wow, is this church? It says right here, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 14. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church... Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding than my voice, that I might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in your understanding. Howbeit in malice, be ye children, but in understanding by men. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they hear not me, saith the Lord. He said, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now watch, 23. You listening, Roger? If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, under the big top, at Sky High, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or believers, they think you're crazy. But if y'all prophesy and they come in, one that believeth not or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brothers? When you come together, every one of you should have a word. Everyone has a doctrine. Everyone has a tongue. Everyone has a revelation. Everyone has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, the church service is supposed to be a conglomerate of people speaking on a topic that the Lord has given them to edify the body. It is not a place where you go sit and be taught by a single man. Anybody want to argue with me on that? Because we saw it in action on Sunday morning. This was in action on Sunday morning. Everybody have a song. Everybody have something to say. Everybody be prepared to testify. Somebody, come on in. You're leaving me hanging here.
Coach.
When's the last time you got to stand up in your church and tell people what you thought? Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to try and help you remember somebody that was there. How was the food?
Oh, Larry knocked it out of the park for doing everything he did, but we had potlucks and jeezy, amen. Ate too much, brother. It's all good. It's all good. We spent a fortune on water, though, I'll tell you that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this actually goes back to Sky High. And, you know, you still, that whole process is still unfolding as far as, you know, ultimately what its purpose is going to be. I think I thought of the story of when God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldeans and told him to go to a land that he would show him. And, of course, Abram wasn't given the whole plan as to what it was about. He was just told to go. And I see the same parallel there with Sky High.
Well, I do, too. It's you can say, well, that's Coach Dave's place. That's Coach Dave's ministry. If you can think that, if you want to, somebody's got to have a place, right? And the Lord has given us this property. I don't know why. Yeah, I do know why. We're taking back land. We're putting up crosses while they're tearing down statues. That's why. We are flying right in the face of everything else that's going on. We're standing up when everybody else is bowing. We are standing up in the face of opposition, saying Christ is King, in the face of everybody else telling us to bow to government. Folks, there's a symbolism that's going on here that's beyond what we understand. And I'm telling you this, I know in my heart right now, if I had opened it up, we would have that field filled. Thousands of people would come. I know that. They came as it was. And I'm not about building big ministry. And you guys know me. You know that's one. But I see it. I'm telling you, I see thousands on those hills. I see it.
Wow.
I don't know hey, why. Coach. I don't know what's going to cause it, but Coach. I see it.
Coach, did you see what I wrote in the text?
I didn't.
All right. You know what's coming to mind is the church of Revelation. Okay, in Revelation, where God said, the one church in particular, God was well pleased with that church, yet he had something against them. And I'm not saying in this one. Okay, I'm just saying this is what's coming to mind, because God would be well pleased with what's going on with God, us.
God is.
Okay, because God leveled that church because they wouldn't go out and share God's word.
That's right.
What he had against them. That's the only thing he had against that church. Okay? And by having huddles in your own city, okay, yes. Sky High being the head of it, so to speak.
And it's got to be okay. Someplace, right? Hey, listen.
God. Yeah.
It can be sky low at your property. I don't care where it is. It can be sky middle. It can be sky
right.
Big. I don't care.
Right. Right.
For whatever
right.
reason, it's sky high.
Exactly.
We'll be sky low. We're below sea level down here in Louisiana, and we're having our annual church gun training shooting seminar on Labor Day. So there are some good churches, and so we'll be sky low because we're below sea level in New Orleans. Definitely this Labor Day weekend. It's not a promo because it's not open to everybody, just like yours. And yeah. That's what we're doing. We're taking everybody in our church, training them how to handle guns. How to load them, how to shoot them, brother. So there's hope. There's hope. We're out there. We're doing it.
I know, brother. We're starting a movement. Come on in, Gary. I see Gary trying to get in here. Gary did yeoman's work behind keeping me lined up and keeping things organized. And when I laid down in bed last night with Michelle and our last little ounce of strength to each other, she commented about how well things went. I said, honey, that's because you delegate. You don't have to go get the milk, and you don't have to go get the eggs, and you don't have to run and get the cheese, and you don't have to go get the butter. Delegate. And we did a great job of delegation this week. And Gary is behind a lot of it. Come on in, Gary.
You're muted, Gary.
Gary, you're muted. You're muted, Gary. Click on your microphone.
There we go. Yep. That's better?
Yep.
Yeah. Good morning. And we had about 80 plus people there at any one time. And it was amazing, like you were talking about the four training sessions. And they were all conducted simultaneously. So, you know, you had those four training sessions going on. People would go out to them, and the amount of participation was astounding. There would only be maybe a half a dozen people that remained back underneath the in the shade, and so the participation rate was incredible at all the four stations. And people were going out, you know, especially with the firearms training. It was under the sun for the most part.
And, it was hot, man. It was hot.
They were willing to go do it. And, you know, there's men out there. Women went out to all four training sessions, and young people. This was probably the youngest crowd that we have had at any of the events. There were a number of young people, boys and girls, and it was great to see them there, and they also participated. And I think what this shows is that with this type of event, there was a desire, a real need for this type of activity, and a desire to participate by almost everybody, because, you know, there was a real commitment for people to participate. They had people came from all over. You know, Rob said, okay, Maine and Wisconsin also participated.
Hey, Gary, how about this? From Maine to San Diego, L.A., you can't get more diagonal across America than Maine to L.A., brother.
Absolutely. And so that there's a time commitment, travel time, and you mentioned food. You know, we went potluck this time, and the amount of food that we had was, you know, more than enough. More than sufficient, and I tell you, it was all great food, and it was just a great time. But it was a need, and I think just people loved it. I didn't hear any negative comments, and it was just fantastic.
Hey, Gary,
cooperation, you know what else, Gary? By all.
Gary, did you see any masks?
not one. You know, I was joking on the side. I said, if Larry wears a mask, I'm bringing scissors. I'm going to cut the straps. Larry, you didn't wear a mask, and it was great. Yeah,
he was too busy working, man.
He was, man. He was just slaving away, and he was a silent warrior there in the kitchen, and that was just neat. I mean, what he put together for his trailer and all was so far beyond what he had last year. It was just blew me away.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, listen, I'll say this. We didn't meet our financial budget, folks. Not that it matters, but if you could throw 25 bucks our way, help. We put 500 bucks in a couple of tents and 250 bucks in Jiffy John's, and we bought food and just a lot of stuff. So if you're out there and you support us, there is a little bit of a need, but God bless you. Appreciate it. Somebody, come on in.
Dave, I just wanted to say that I think that going through the firearms and things like that is what I saw, is that a lot of people where they saw they hadn't shot their weapons before, or they hadn't shot them very much. They saw how they function, whether they function well or they didn't function very well. And also the need for additional magazines and maybe some other type of equipment to go along with them that could help them, give them a chance, you know, on some other stuff. And so I think a lot of people's eyes were opened in ways in which I didn't anticipate as far as that avenue went.
Amen. Amen. The folks, the need is so great. The need is, I'm telling you, the need is so great. And if, so we're going to do another one. We're going to do more of them. We made a lot of mistakes, a lot of things we did wrong. Maybe we could have done differently. You learn as you go through it, but what a great place, man.
I want to mention about the offerings for Sky High. Throughout my career, I spent 24 years in law enforcement, and I've been to about 8 different kind of trainings. Every one of them were either $400 to $600 just to attend, not counting lodging, not counting food, not counting ammo and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. But all the weapons training courses I've been to, you look out there, there's $400, $600 just to be there. So please, amen, people.
Yeah. And folks, listen, we're taking the money and we're blessing the guys who did the serving.
Hey, Coach, all right, you didn't talk much about misses or negatives, but I think everyone agrees that maybe if you do it again, if it can be better, what can we do to prepare? So either now, if you could go over some things that could be done better, or if you put it together, what could be done better, Gary? Coach, well, what do y'all think? How could we help prepare? Whenever you got there, you know, oh, we don't have time to do that now. What are some of those things, Coach?
Well, here's the main thing, and I not the main thing, but we'll have a debriefing. Can I tell you this, folks? Here's the biggest thing I think, and this is my football training. 9 o'clock means ready to go at 9 o'clock. It doesn't mean come 9:10. And then have to eat an egg, and then have to go pee-pee, and then be ready to go at 9:35. Because that screws up the schedule. Let me ask you something. Why can't you people be on time? What is so hard about that? One of the greatest things you can do is disrespect somebody by the use of their time. If I bust my arse to get there at 9 o'clock, why can't you bust yours to get there at 9 o'clock? What is so special about you that you don't have to come till 9:20? Or you come rolling when breakfast is at 7:30 and you come rolling in at 9 and want to eat. I love you all. I love you all.
Yeah, if we got it. What else? Good one,
huh?
Coach.
That's exactly a good start. Huh?
That is hard to deal with.
It messes up the whole schedule.
Yes, it does.
Before the event shortages. No, we were good on that. But you know, Mark, yeah, we're going to go through all that. They had to shoot somebody else's ammo. They had to shoot somebody else's ammo. Didn't bring their own ammo. I'm not mad at you, folks. I'm not mad at you. But Mark's right. These are little things that we got to make sure we iron out. So Chad spent a lot of time making the schedule, and then people are late.
So the people who witness that, Coach, the people who witness that have to bring that message to us, and then we all help. With those points, for us to do this again and miss those points is wrong. Mm-hmm. So let us help. And I think that message is going to help out a lot. Thanks, Coach.
Okay. So we got the first session started late and it screwed up the rest of the day. Didn't screw it up, but we were adjusting the rest of the day with that 45 minutes that we lost right at the beginning, man. So listen, I know you guys don't do it on purpose. You're never late on purpose. But being late is disrespectful. It's very, very disrespectful. And so we got to start thinking that way, right? Anybody want to wrap this up? Great weekend. Listen, I'm hoping maybe even tomorrow. I didn't get a chance to show the video of Bevelin Beatty, the ferocious Black Lives Matter antagonist. She hates Black Lives Matter. Bevelin Beatty was in New York City painting over yellow. She's a Black woman painting over Black Lives Matter. How about this one? She painted over Black Lives Matter sign in the middle of the street. They arrested her, took her in, booked her. And what do you think happened when they let her out? She went right back and did it again. Beverly Beatty's going to be with us either tomorrow or Wednesday. Just haven't firmed it up yet. You guys saw her last week, right? We saw her last week when she was in Florida. So this is, folks, we got pushed back, man. We got to push. The righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are. The righteous are as bold as lions. And evil men flee when no one pursues. We are going to begin to advance the kingdom of God till death do us part. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow. Love all of you out there. Thanks.